Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is a man who loves a cryptic message. It's Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi. Sorry, my little speaker fell off my computer and I'm messing with it. I'm just going to let it dangle in front of me.
What an awkward start to the episode. You know,
but how fitting, right? Pause. Just a dangling speaker. That's how Salt Lake City begins.
It was a very awkward cryptic message.
You know what? It's how she spelled because. She spells it like that.
Yeah, it's the smoking because, okay? Salt Lake City continues to deliver so many wonderful things, and it is so good, and we're talking about it today. We're also doing Crappens on Demand, so go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens, and you can see our faces. I have not cut my hair, so you can watch us. You don't have to just listen to us. I highly recommend it, because there's usually a Bueller cameo. That's Ronnie's dog. And also, guys, go to watchforcrappens.com and get tickets to the live shows. We're going all around the country. I will say I looked at the map for our New York City show. Ronnie, we have like 40 tickets left. So if you are interested in the Golden Crappies, there's literally 40 tickets left, and that's it. So, but don't worry. We're going to lots of other places. We're going to Boston that same weekend. We're going to Philadelphia, D.C., like, you know, a million places. So watchforcrappens.com. Go get a ticket. We want to see you. We don't want you to feel like you're missing out. We want everyone to be part of this experience. It's going to be a great time. Okay. You know what? It's going to be a great time. I'm going to talk like Michael Joseph right now just because it's fun to do it. Okay. Okay. Ronnie, okay. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. This is our Friday, basically. We are here on our last day before Thanksgiving break. Now, we're going to be here with you in your ears all week because we've got Real Housewives Girls Trip. We've got two episodes today. We've got two episodes of Girls Trip, and we've got a bonus episode. So we're still going to have a full week here, but today, this is it. And tonight, we're going to be doing Take a Seat over on Spotify Green Room. Just download the Green Room app. It's free. Mm-hmm. Okay. Follow Take a Seat and Ben Mandelker, and you'll find us. We can do that at 7 p.m. Central and 10 p.m. Eastern time. We just talk a lot of poo, basically. You guys talk, we talk, we all talk together. Guy.
Yeah.
So come join us for that. So then after that, we're off. We're out of here. I'm like ready to make some. I'm making something wonderful every day this week for Thanksgiving.
I'm gonna try something new with my Thanksgiving turkey. I'm just gonna put a bunch of melted raclette on it and see how that plays. You know, I think after this episode, it's just gonna be, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna put newspapers on my table and then cover the entire thing with melted raclette. That is gonna be my Thanksgiving. And we just dip turkey and stuffing in it and whatever else needs to go in it, because I'm committed to a raclette lifestyle after watching this. Oh, and I wanna also say one other thing, which is that we are gonna go enjoy a week off, and that means that the Winter House season finale will not be up this week, and neither will Girls Trip episode 4. But Winter House will be up next Monday or so. So it will come just a little later than usual. That's all.
Yeah. So let's get to it, everybody. Okay. I was driving carpool with my children. That's what I'm saying to everything I'm getting called out. That's my response to everything I get called out on lately. I was driving carpool with my children.
You're going to have to say that a lot this week. I feel like this is a week with a lot of family, and so there are going to be a lot of asks, and I think just whatever it is. Like, Ronnie, did you pick up the stuffing?
I was driving carpool with my children.
Also, I want to point out something else. I feel like we've never really discussed this, but it's something that I notice every single week, okay? Lisa Barlow, when she does her line, she doesn't have any dramatic pause in it. Have you noticed that with her tagline? She always goes, what is it? She's like, I don't need to lie. She just sort of like says it in one big, I forget what her line is right now, but she just sort of
says it. You don't have to love me because I have enough. I love myself enough for the both of us.
Yeah, that's what it is. So normally you would say, you don't have to love me because I have enough love for both of us. But she's like, you don't have to love me because I've got enough for both of us. It's like, whoa. And the reason why I mentioned that is because that also like goes, it extends to her saying previously on The Real Housewives, because normally you go, previously on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And she goes, previously on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You're like, whoa, Lisa. Take pauses.
You know, they're like, Lisa, we have to record your line today. She's like, you know what? I've got so many businesses. Just do it fast, okay? Hold on, my lawyer's calling. Hello, Sue, I've got Jonathan on the other line. Jonathan, I don't care if you love me, okay? I've got enough love for the both of us. They're like, print, just use that.
I love myself enough for the both of us.
Just use whatever she just said to her lawyer on the phone, okay?
Yeah, it's just her cadence is hilarious to me. So,
last week was this like 24 bleep, 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 brrr, and it was like a time thing on screen. And then we would just get like kind of horror music as we came into the scenes. This week they dropped that and we're just getting horror piano, which, you know, the horror piano was very nice because I like thinking of Trixie, like just with a cigarette dangling out of her mouth, you know, doing a little C to E horror piano. But, you know, I do appreciate some consistency, guys. So if we're going to be working on titles, you need to have team A work with team B. And get together, because I can't have titles like that one week and then the next week I'm just left in the air with a little tinkle piano. Okay, you know what I mean? I need consistency.
It's hard because you get expectations and then those expectations aren't met, you know, and then it leads to disappointment. And we don't need that in our lives. We have enough going on.
See the number. I want to see the number and like the little images behind the number, and then the TV's. You know, fuzzing out or whatever. So we get horror piano, and Lisa has just said, oh, well, I think I know why she got out of the Uber, Heather. And Jenny's like, so you think that she's meeting up with another guy? Just say that.
And she's like, well, I don't know what happened that night, but I have no idea what happened that night. I have no idea, but I will say that if there was a man who she met up with, that's something that could have happened, but I have no idea. I have no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, and Whitney's like, but if we do not share what we know, we are in danger. Okay, Whitney.
I love this.
Enough.
We are in danger.
Whitney's acting like she's hiding in a closet looking out the little slits, you know, from in the door. It's like, we are in danger if we don't know about this telemarketing scheme. I was carpooling my children.
She's going to use this also for like anytime she wants gossip. She's going to say, if you don't give her the gossip, she is literally going to pull the danger card. She's like,
I need to know what sort of Snapple she bought at the convenience store, because if we don't know these things, we are in danger.
So Mary is just like, no, raw fish. I can't. The fish gave birth to other fish in my stomach. I raw fish. And then Lisa's like, I feel so deceived. Like, honestly, I feel so deceived. Like, honestly, I just don't think that she is who we think she is. I don't know who she is. Like, I have no idea who she is. She's a completely different person than I think. And I thought she was meeting with somebody, and she got out of an Uber.
And then Meredith is like drunk and has been like, she's also like dehydrated from sitting in a bathtub all day. She's basically marinated. She's like practically purple. She's like Coco Vand herself. And she's like, well, she's not. It's like her head is just like fully like teetering around. So Heather's like, you know, when I saw Jen getting out of the Uber, I assumed she just didn't want me to know who was picking her up. But I never considered it as scandalous as another man. I mean, and if Lisa knows who it is, it seems like a pretty big accusation. So, like, why wouldn't she just tell us?
And Lisa's like, she's not who I thought she is. She's not who I thought. Who did you think she was? I love that everybody's acting like Jen had this huge act on, that she wasn't a horrible fucking human being. Jen has been nothing but a horrible human being, and I don't believe that any of you are surprised. But Lisa's, the best thing about it is that Lisa isn't crying at all. She's just doing the housewife thing of taking her fingers and shoving them under her eyes and pressing them, and her eyeballs are going to pop out. She's just trying to make tears come, but it's not really.
I think that she's just looking for an excuse to distance herself from Jen. I think that she's actually been waiting for that. And so now she's like, oh my God, the other day I lent her a paperclip and she never gave it back. And I'm like, I feel so deceived. Who is this person? The person that I thought I knew who would give paperclips back. It's not her at all. I don't think I could be friends with her anymore. I don't think so.
So Meredith comes behind her and sits on her lap and brings her a fresh glass of Cuvée from the Krista Christ Chris Cuvée Foundation. And she's like, shh, I know. Tell Mama all about it. Who hurt my toddler? And Lisa's like, I feel sick. She's like, hang up her up. Dorito Taco Shell. The world will always sell Dorito Taco Shell. That's my favorite nursery rhyme.
Fresh burrito. So then Jenny is like, okay, so I don't know. I know you don't want to say certain things that are like out of line, but like we're all in this and she's not here. So we need to know. Girls, it's my first vacation. I need you to give me the gossip. Okay, come on. I need to have a scene here.
Yeah, basically. And everyone's getting themselves all worked up and it just cuts to Mary. He's like, ow, because she ate a chip wrong. And she's like looking at that chip like she's going to make it mortgage its chip house
to her. She's so mad. But then she also has that look like, fuck this chip. I think I'm going to keep eating it.
And
like that resignation.
Jenny continues to yell, because we feel betrayed. Okay, you're officially doing too much now. Sit back down, Jenny. Okay, you've been here 5 minutes, ma'am.
Lisa's like, I feel betrayed. I think we all feel betrayed. I feel like she has a double life, okay? It's like you're both Fresh Wolf and Fresh Coyote, okay? And I was, like, rooting for her. And over the past couple of weeks when I was asked about, like, Bob, that's my version of beeping, at her kid's photo shoot, it, like, I set her off and then, like, we ended up hugging it out, but did it end well? No, because here's some fresh content, okay? Guess what? No, as soon as I got in the car, I started to get all this, like, fuck you, you're not my fucking friend. Like, my kids are in my car. They're, like, in the presence of a text message, okay? They could have read because spelled B-C-U-Z, which is their signature way of spelling it, okay? My kids were near that. Ah!
Were you carpooling them?
I was!
Oh, my God. I totally get it. We share trauma.
She's like, so you guys have gotten weird text messages? Ah. And Whitney's like, yes, I have. She goes, yeah, the vernacular was a little bizarre. And Heather's like, did it sound like the ones that I got? Because I sent you the ones that I got. And Whitney's like, I got some too. And Whitney keeps trying to join in on this conversation, but like no one's listening to Whitney, you know? And so
someone
Meredith
said,
like,
I got a weird text message that said I was in a very zone and that I owed my $84 for the month to be in this very something zone.
Now that's actually just Verizon just texting you saying your bill is ready.
Oh, I was on carpool.
I was carpooling my children.
And Meredith is like, well, all the text messages are very similar. They're attacking newborn babies. And Lisa's like, well, you know what? Last year after Vegas, Jen thought very traumatized. Around the same time, I received some text messages and it was really disturbing. But what really stood out to me was the way because was spelled. Because. B-C-U-Z. Who else spells because like this?
It was almost as bad as one thumbs up in a text message, okay? And then we see the text message and it says, receipts coming in. Racism is real. You can't hide because you and your friends think you're better than everyone. It's all coming out. I don't know what that was. I don't know if because was necessarily an indictment. But then again, it is Jen, and her whole thing does take place. It's like crimes over the phone. So, I mean, Lisa does have a decent case.
Well, that's how they get you. You know, I watch a lot of spy shows and mystery shows and stuff, and they always get, and obviously so does Lisa, because that's always how they get people on these shows. It's like, but he misspells the. He puts the E before the H in every text he sends. He must be the killer! And you're like, oh, my God. Get it. So then Jenny's like, so why is this connected to Jen exactly? And Meredith's like, Jenny, all right.
I hired a private investigator on Jan. And everyone's like, what?
Yeah. Well, my newborn child was being threatened, and I thought the investigator thought it was extraordinarily likely that it was coming from Jan. In fact, we looked at Brooks's crib, and there it was, a security camera with a feed directly to Jen and the campaign headquarters, and she denied it and said she wasn't a crook, but then it all came out on the tapes. Meredith, you're just moving into Nixon now. Oh, either way, it still works.
I am not a Brooks.
So, first of all, you have a terrible private investigator, because if I paid somebody money and they told me it was very likely that it was coming from Jen, no, you better get some records. What the hell kind of private investigator is that? First of all, fire them.
Who's Seth?
Yeah. And was the investigator a twink in a Walmart tracksuit with his name ironed up the seams? Because that's where I think that investigator went.
Hi, Mother. This is Koshi.
Mom.
Mother, this is Koshi. He works at Starbucks, but he also can Google well, and he said he would look into Jen Shaw. Oh, good. I need a private investigator. Koshi, go at it.
They just had someone come into Starbucks and put the name BCUZ on their cup. Oh, my God, Sam. That's the one. It's her. You got her.
I asked Koshi if he was looking, and he got it all wrong. It was a very awkward encounter at my doorway.
His twin sister Koshi's a real bitch. Every time I ask her something, she just says to eat her. So Whitney's like, I have never had a friend hire a private investigator on another friend. Like, what the fuck?
But that's only because I don't have time to do that because I'm driving carpool.
So Meredith is like, who here wants to be friends with Jennifer Shaw moving forward?
I love when she pulls out the Jennifer Shaw. When she's when Meredith is mad, she just totally is like, I'm going to use her full name for full dramatic impact. Jennifer Shaw Koshi. Did you write that down? Jennifer Shaw. So Jenny is like,
yeah, so Jenny's like, well, I liked her when we first met because like I just feel like I connect with her because we're minorities and like she understands that I've been misunderstood. And Lisa's like, yeah, you know what? I love that part of her too. I love minorities. You know what? Like if you don't have enough votes and you're in the minority party, I'm voting for you. My favorite movie is Minority Report. I love minorities.
Minorities. I love minorities and reports. I love them both. So Jenny goes,
I love menorahs, but that's for another day.
Menorah.
For another day.
Listen, I left Judaism behind, but I keep menorahs with me, okay? Also, I love Melora Hardin. Thought she should have gone farther in Dancing with the Stars.
Menorahs are minority candle holders. So I like those too. I support those.
So Jenny is like, it's just, you know, it's a lot today. And we can't say, oh, she's getting arrested. We're going to leave her on the sidelines. Like, what am I going to do when she comes around? Like, what would you do when she comes around? Like, Jenny is just trying to figure out, like, what are we going to say when she shows up? We're going to act cool or whatever. Or like, also, we can't just like throw her to the wolves, you know? And she feels awkward that they're just like, full on abandoning Jen, like at the moment that she receives very strong federal indictments and charges and looks like she's going to jail for 30 years. She just can't believe everyone just would abandon her right away.
Yeah, and Heather's like, well, I'm going to help her. I will 100% help her. Okay. And Meredith was like, all right, you know what? Yeah. Am I nodding or am I trying to scratch my collarbone with my chin? I don't know. No one's ever going to know.
Two birds with one stone. So then Heather goes, she is my friend. And for better or worse, when things like this happen, people use that as an excuse to scatter and to absolve themselves of you. And I think the only value of true friendship is when you're down. I'm like, maybe, but also like this whole for better or for worse, that's for marriage. It's not for friendship necessarily. Like, yes, I do want to be there for my friends when they are when they're down, and I hope they're there for me when I'm down too. But I also think if someone's been really toxic and then it turns out not only are they really toxic, but they also are like defrauding people. I mean, that's a pretty, I don't know. I think that's a that's a moment where I think you can maybe make an exception to the friend
rules. Yes, it's like when you're like kicking in the head, the most vulnerable in society. It's okay, Heather. Okay. But Heather, I think, is doing that thing where she's, because her whole thing this year is, I used to be a judgmental bitch, but now I'm not a judgmental bitch. Well, listen, as a judgmental bitch, that does not just go away, okay? Mm-hmm. You cannot pray that away. So I think probably in trying to fix it, she's just going to be accepting of everything now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there can be a middle ground, I think.
And she's also been a pariah recently with her own community, so she's trying to show empathy, which I understand. So Heather's like, right. Yeah, she even says, like, you know, her Mormon upbringing would shun the sinner and have a moral superiority, but she's like, I don't have a moral superiority. And when the rest of the world walks out, I want to walk in.
I mean, okay, you do you, you know?
That's like me with Carvel.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Meredith is like, so are you going to visit her in prison? Because she's probably going to be in prison for about 90,000 years, Heather. And she's like, I will visit her in prison for sure. Guards
well, are are you gonna do the Susan Sarandon fingers on the glass moment? Because if you don't do that, there's no point in visiting someone in prison. You need to have that moment to really be a good visitor. Am I right, everyone?
I've got it all planned out. How about them apples? Nah, that was the wrong film.
That's, I think that Jennifer Shaw would not appreciate you rubbing apples in her face when she has no access to any sort of computer, really.
So Lisa's like, well, I would ask you that because I know I've been a good friend to Jen, except for that time I brought that designer up on TV to make her look stupid. And I know that I've been consistent, and I know that I've been there for her, but at what point does it go from being a good friend to just being fucking stupid? What point? And Heather's like, Lisa said it.
Yeah. And Heather's like, well, what is the fear in reaching out when we were friends with her and knowing all these toxic things 6 hours ago? She's kind of like, listen, she was always awful and she was always toxic, but we were friends with her. And the only thing that's changed is just like, I don't know, like getting arrested by Homeland Security and the feds and NYPD. But like, what else could really have changed, you know?
Can we talk about the hundreds of lives that she's ruined through her actions? Am I supposed to feel
Meredith?
Yeah, Meredith is
now
one.
Starting to go off the rails. Really for no reason.
At what point do you say enough is enough? Am I right? How many toddlers need to be terrorized about conversations they never even had with their mothers on account of the fact that the only words they can say are goo-goo and gaga?
And Lisa's like, I'm with her. And Heather says, well, I thought you were on a, like a upward trend with her. I thought you wanted an upward trend with her. And Meredith's like, well, that does not mean I have to have a friendship with her. We're not friends. We're at zero, all right? You have to have trust to be friends. And I gave chances, and she's continuously abused me, cruised me, and slapped me in the face. Why? Why? When I show up for her, you tell me. Why?
I'm still working on rhyming the third items in a list. It's very hard, it turns out.
I so. Don't even know what caroused it, but it naturally fit in that sense.
I've tried, I've cried, and I can't figure it out.
So Heather's like, yeah, but if Jen Shaw is ever going to change or become the person that she can be, and Mary goes, which is who?
That. And Heather goes, well, I mean, now would be the most pivotal time because she is stripped of everything that has defined her. And Mary goes, I've never seen potential in Jen. I've never seen good in Jen. Oh, I'm going to go there. Okay. I always knew there was some sort of scandal. I'm clear on who she was. Like Mary, the really just stepping up as a religious leader right now. Yeah, no, I never saw anything good. Yeah, I knew she was shit. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Whitney's like, well, I don't know what to make of it. It is crazy. I don't know where I stand, but I know this.
Line. Okay. Jen owes it to every single one of us to tell us the truth about what she has been up to.
And Mary's like, call her. Call her right now. Call her.
Call her, otherwise we will be in danger.
So then Heather is like, okay, well, I'm going to call. It's going to go straight to voicemail. And it goes, that's what happens. It goes right to voicemail. And Meredith goes, well, I think I need to make something very clear to every single one of you, because this is very important to me. I have been extraordinarily tolerant. I have been above and beyond giving the benefit of the doubt, and it is finished. We are done. I want none, and I feel like I'm having now a lot of salad for dinner. I couldn't land it. I couldn't figure out that third word.
Now, if she, in fact, repeatedly defrauded, repotted, and rebuked the elderly, I am utterly revolted. That's it.
She shrugs. And then she tells them she will not have Jennifer in her presence. I don't want her in my store. I don't want her in my home. And I do not want her around my toddler.
Not without my baby. This is based off of me trying to avoid Jennifer, I think. So, yeah, she basically is like, no. And then she goes, yeah, and actually Meredith also says, if, in fact, she repeatedly defrauded the elderly, I am utterly revolted. That is it. I like that these are like sentences that are being said about other castmates on Bravo. You know, if she repeatedly defrauded the elderly, we're done. We're not friends anymore. Like, just the concept of that sentence is hilarious.
Yeah. So she tells them all, if you're going to invite Jen, do not invite me. And she's just done this 10-minute monologue, you know. Yeah. And then the music goes, dun, 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 like it's about to go to commercial. And Mary just goes, phew.
I'm sick of the lying, denying, and chairs. God, it's so hard.
Carpool your children. That rhymes.
So the next morning, Heather is just that person who goes into everybody's room and starts opening the drapes. Which, I mean, mom mode.
Heather, yeah. Thompson in mom mode.
Yeah. Yes, Heather Thompson. That's true. It's a Heather thing, I guess, opening those drapes.
Yeah.
And Dewey, who's still dead to me, calls Jenny and he's like, hey, miss you, honey. And she's like, I'm with the other ladies. And, you know, there's a lot of anger, hurt, and betrayal over here, Dewey. And he's like, well, you know what they say. There's always three sides to a story. Can you drop your fucking three?
Okay. Yeah.
your sister wife does not have a say in this either, Dewey. Stop trying to run this into the ground, sir.
There's her side, there's the Homeland Security side, and then there's the Homeland Security sister wife side, okay? So then Dewey is, he basically is like, innocent until proven guilty, and I recommend Jenny, you just send her love over text. It's like, okay, well, I don't think it's that easy, but fine. So now Mary comes downstairs, and she's wearing some crazy American flag shirt and a headband, and it's, I'm like, God bless Mary and her fashions. Always keeping things interesting.
She just kind of shuffles in and Jenny's like, good morning, want coffee? I'm an early bird. And Mary's like, die. She just looks at her like, die, please. So Heather comes in and she's looking around the kitchen. She's like, if I were a cookie sheet, where would I be? Which I play wherever I am.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, if I was a cookie sheet, how would I feel right now?
The cookie sheet's out at the, like, on the road trying to hitchhike out of there. Like, I don't want to be put into an oven again. So then, so Heather wants to do mimosas and everything. And, you know, she's just sort of, like, assigning tasks. And she tells Whitney to help Meredith clean glasses. And Whitney's like, but I have carpool. And then she says the thing that you love to say, which is, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Let's go.
Yeah. And so Whitney's like, do you feel like you have an emotional hangover? And Meredith's like, oh,
that's a good way to put it.
That's funny. That's funny. I also just have a hangover. So then their plan for today is that they're going to be doing either like ice skating and shopping or just dog sledding. And so Mary is choosing shopping and ice skating, and she said, and Meredith says, well, you know what, the last few weeks I felt very unsettled about having engaged in these rumors about Mary, and I feel like I'm not being a good friend. I'm trying to think of a list of three things. I'm being bad. I feel mad. And that makes me mostly feel sadistic. No, what's the right word?
I was engaging, which is enraging, which is not nice.
I mean, I think she's feeling extra guilty because Mary is walking around in a Brooks Marks tracksuit.
So I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, because at first she was like in American flag pajamas, and then she went in to change to the Brooks Marks sweatsuit. So Meredith's like, oh, God, that's free advertising. I'm not going to look that guilt horse in the mouth, am I right? So Heather's like, you're going to dogside Whitney, right? And she's like, yeah, I brought my snowsuit. I want to be in the mountains doing mountainy things.
Dog sledding is kind of like carpooling for dogs. Although, am I being the one carpooled? Either way, I'm busy doing it.
I don't expect the wolves to answer their phone while they're carpooling me because I'm a good friend to wolves.
If you don't ride a dog sled, we are all in danger.
So then, Whitney's like making an egg. And Mary sort of sidles by and she's like, oh, that's nice. Can I have an egg too? Or she just sort of says, I want, like, that looks nice.
She goes,
like,
look at your eggs, Whitney. Are you only doing them for yourself?
That's what it was. I was about to say, that was way too polite for her to say, may I have one also?
No, she is a total asshole about it. So Whitney's like, oh, would you like an egg? She goes, yes, I would love an egg. So she walks away and Whitney's like, oh my God, I don't want the pressure of cooking her an egg.
Because you know there is a lot of pressure, right? Like one little thing wrong and Mary's gonna hold against you for like 2 months. So Whitney's like,
even though Mary's treating me like shit, I'm gonna still make her eggs because I'm a nice person and I can't help it. I just can't help making an egg. So however, I better get this right, because if I don't cook these eggs correctly, is she going to come for me? Am I in danger? Can I carpool these eggs somewhere to safety?
And Lisa's like, good morning! Lisa comes in, and she's trying to look like she just woke up, even though we all just saw her getting ready for like 2 hours for her just woke up scene.
Yeah. And then she's like, everything's good with a bay. Barlow, berries, and bacon. Also, butane, biofries, Batman, burritos, Bananarama. I love that pond. Bonds.
Bingo.
Bagels.
And Heather's like, did you sleep okay, Lisa? And she's like, it took me a while to sleep, but then once I fell asleep, I was, ah. And Mary says, Lisa, I'm going to join with you. Oh, look, Whitney made me an egg. She made me an egg. And then it's clown music as she looks over the egg. She's like, she puts it in the microwave. And she's like, I don't trust Whitney. I'm definitely putting that egg in the microwave because I didn't see her wash her hands. So, I mean. You're going to put it in the microwave. That's the only way to kill those germs, is to cook that little bad boy. Sorry. Doing
yeah. Microwave. Just cook it a little bit more. Make sure it's not contaminated. I mean, Mary is not with us. Like, Mary is in a different world. Like, something is... Mary is lives in a different reality. And I feel like at some point, we're just going to have to reckon with that. But for right now, it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. So then everybody's getting ready and they split up into the buses, you know, so housewives trip. So some people go someplace and other people go another place to talk shit about each other.
And you know who's really eager for them to get on the bus and get going? Jenny. Heather, let's go. We're really late. We're really late. We're really late. Heather, like, she does not like, I'm not Heather, I'm sorry. Jenny, she just wants, if there's a bus, she wants to be on it and she wants to be moving as soon as possible. She's not like idling.
Yeah. So Meredith is like, well, I was freaked out last night. You know, they're talking about it. And she goes, you know, but here's the deal, Lisa. Because they go out and sit on the balcony where everybody's getting ready. She's like, yeah. I just feel kind of stressed out because I had that very cryptic conversation with Cameron at your event. You mean my son's event? They did everything, including the guest list? That one? Oh my God, get off my back. Like, yeah, your son's about,
right?
Yeah. I was shaking my head so much, I lost my place in my notes.
I was going to say, I like the sound of our joint Meredith's, like, deciding which one of us is going to speak next, because it was just this.
Well, I realized I think I've been Meredith the whole episode. So it's like, you know what? Don't hog the Meredith.
No, there's...
You got to pass the marks around.
Are you kidding me, other Meredith? There's so much Meredith to go around that it actually, there's nothing to be concerned about. Let me tell you something, other Meredith. At Mary's Day on Saturday, Whitney was intimating things that weren't so positive either.
Yeah, so she's like, what do you know, Lisa? Just tell me what you know. And Lisa's like, well, what Cameron told me, he said that it's serious to be part of Mary's church, and that the way they look at Mary and the church is, like, serious. But he was, like, saying, like, Mary shows up every once in a while. She's elusive. And then when she comes, they're, like, in awe. It's like the second coming, the third coming, the fourth coming. Like, it never gets old. They're always excited to see Jesus. Like, one was fresh, one was wolf, and together they were the... what am I saying? Oh, no. I think he thought the world of her, and they had a very strong relationship. And Meredith just goes, oh, what are you trying to sing, Lisa?
What I'm trying to say is that Meredith's congregation loves Peckabo. Wow. One moment she's there, and the next moment she's not. They love it. They love it. They lose their minds. And I'm not trying to say anything beyond that. I just think that Cameron trusted in Mara and felt incredibly close to her. And that's all. And you can figure it through. Hey, wait, let me finish off with this. Dot, dot, dot.
They're really close. One was fresh, one was wolf, and together they were the perfect aftershave product on shelves now. That's what I was saying earlier.
So oh, Meredith, it makes more sense, like, now.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Fucking Meredith, I need to learn how to, like, do this with my head and
without
still
getting
find
dizzy
my
afterwards.
Place.
Yeah,
it's like
hard.
In dance class how they teach you how to spot, you know, where you look at one point of the room until you almost make the turn, and then you flip your head back around and you still see that point in the room. I need to do that, but with Meredith, you know, it's like Meredith spotting.
It is. You do have to. You do get a little dizzy. Well, let me tell you something. Lisa thinks or knows more of it than what she's disclosing, and it's all unsettling. Like the time when Brooks said he wanted his whole thing this season to be about making challah. I mean, that little baby having carbs, it, like, doesn't make sense to me. It's all unsettling this season. Now I'm dizzy.
So Meredith is, what is this?
She's like, well, why didn't you ever mention this to me about the peekaboo? And Lisa says, well, I felt like you're a great friend to Mari, Meredith. And, like, why would I say anything that might rattle your friendship, okay?
Yeah, and she's like, but, you know what, I think I need to have a conversation with Mary. And she's like, what do you want to say to her? She's like, well, I just think she needs to be aware that these cryptic conversations are going on. I'm going to tell her, hey, these cryptic things are being said cryptically.
Well, I keep all your confidences, and I'd like to keep Cameron's too. Yeah, but I mean... it's getting out of control. I mean, there's now a full dedicated currency dedicated to these cryptic discussions. They call it cryptic currency, and I think it's getting out of hand.
I'm going to get the real Bitcoin action on what's going on here.
I don't like it one Bitcoin.
This is some bullshit. All of this is bullshit because Lisa, Cameron wanted to be on TV. Cameron jumped right on TV to go tattletale on Mary. And then wussed out on whatever he's going to say. So Lisa being like, well, I'm going to keep his confidence. No, you can't just throw stones and then hide your hand. Throw the damn stone, okay? Come out here and throw the stone, ma'am.
Well, they're working up to it. Because I remember in the trailer way back when, Cameron has, like, a scene where I think he sits down with Whitney. So he will have a scene.
He will have his moment in the sun. So the bus arrives at dog sledding. And thankfully, a lot of this is boring. So we don't have to go through a lot of this stuff.
But some of Lauren, it's funny.
Yeah, Lauren, the... there's the main guy at the dog
Alpine
sledding.
Adventures dog sledding instructor.
He's like, please just, this guy's name is Austin, but just call him Guy because we've got a lot of Austins here.
Like, okay, they're like calling him Austin Guy. And then, you know, there's just like talk about like getting on the sled. So at one point, Whitney is with Austin Guy and she's saying, I'm so allergic to dogs. They, if
Can I start from the top? Okay. I am so allergic to dogs, but I love them. I didn't bring Zyrtec. And Austin goes, oh, how old Zyrtec? He goes, no, Zyrtec is the allergy medicine, but thank you for making me not look like the least smart person here today. It's refreshing.
So Whitney's like, these dogs are a lot easier to control than the bitches back home. She always does that thing where she makes a really terrible punchline and then she just stares at the camera and the editors just leave it going as yeah. a silence while she's like waiting for applause.
Hold for laughter.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now over with the shoppers. So they're walking around in downtown Vail. It's Lisa, Mary, and Meredith. And Lisa's like, oh my God, I love this little village. Oh my God, Meredith, you have to open up a store. Open up a store, Meredith. Oh my God. And then Mary goes, this reminds me of,
Europe.
No, Harry Potter at Disneyland, which is... Europe. <It's> like, it reminds me of like one of those places at Epcot Center. Europe.
No, the place in that movie, European Vacation.
Europe. No, that restaurant, Olive Garden, Italy.
So then they go into a sunglasses store and Lisa's like, oh my God, are these sunglasses standing there? Are they standing there? Cause Lisa's doing that. Look, I'm fun. So she's yeah. doing her fun voice wherever they go. She's like, oh my God, look at the sun. Look at the sun. It's a quad. Why are you talking like that? Where does that voice come from? So Mary's like, yeah, happy. I mean, I like the sunglasses, but I wish you would have cleaned them first, like with alcohol. Cause I mean,
and then the gay who's there is like, everything is cleaned. Yeah. Wait, hold on one second. Hey, Koshi, I got some deets for you on your investigation. Yeah. She's crazy.
Oh, and Lisa goes, Mary could live in a hermetically sealed everything. And it just shows Mary like, I don't know what that means, but it's very offensive. I'll get you for that later.
And then we go back to dog sledding. And it's more silliness. And Whitney is like,
can you get a DUI on a dog sled? Oh, wait. More importantly, if I take a FaceTime while doing dog sled, is that irresponsible to the dogs?
Can you get a DUI? And Heather's like, well, we're about to find out. She goes, can you get an IUD? Well, we're about to find out. Can you get a DIU? I don't know what that is, but we're about to find out.
Can we get the DWP?
Well, that seems pretty regional to Los Angeles. Just Meredith. It's just Meredith's voice over the mountains.
That seems pretty regional.
So back to Vail. Lisa's like, Nancy Kerrigan has nothing on me. I'm like, don't take Tanya Harding's side, Lisa, as you get into your figure skating costume.
That's what Meredith said. She's like, well, I'm calling Tanya Harding. And she's like, when I thought of ice skating, all I thought about was the cute outfits. I forgot the part about skating.
Yeah. So then they like go into this little ice rink that's in the middle of Vail, in the middle of the main walking area, main promenade. And basically, Lisa's the only one who seems to be able to ice skate. So she's sort of just like doing a Jill Zarin in the middle. But like Meredith and Mary are like clutching onto the side, as I would, because I've never gone ice skating before. And like, oh my God, I'm glad I'm doing this before I ever let my little baby Brooks do this, because he's just a baby and would fall over on his face.
And Mary's just hating this whole thing. And Lisa goes, come on, baby. I believe in you, baby. Baby, I believe in you. Hey, Mary, guess who's with you right now? And she's like, yeah, Jesus is with me. And he told me, go to the door. Go to the door.
Mary clearly hates group trips. I mean, that's what's so funny about Mary is that she's hating every single moment of this. I mean, she is so quirky and... like, it's just so strange that she's on this show, because like the things that this show asks of her are things that make her look so supremely uncomfortable, but she's doing it anyway, and it's just so bizarre.
She hates group trips and just groups and people, yeah, at and all people. Like, she really hates being anywhere, you know. Even when she had to like get on the phone to call and invite people, she was like,
Yeah, she really does. So now dog sledder's driving back, and Heather drops Candy on the bus floor, and she's like, 5 second rule, 30 second rule.
She's like, this one's dry. She just pops it in her mouth. And Jenny's like, oh my God, you know what? Lisa does the same thing. She's, yeah, we're twins. I mean, clearly I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger and she's Danny DeVito. I don't think either one of you really wins with that one. But that's the fun thing about twins.
Yeah, I would have gone more for a Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin vibe personally. So Heather's like, she's saying how she got along with Lisa on the ride to Vail, and that she's like, you know, it was a closed compartment and she was highly agitated and she never got like mad at me once. Like, that was pretty amazing. And Whitney goes, yesterday validated a lot of things for me just watching her. Like, this was someone who has never driven carpool before. I could tell.
Heather's like, yeah, I mean, it was the Lisa Barlow show. Like, how does this affect me? And then we get a clip of Lisa being like, oh my God, all my attorneys are calling me back. Hello, Steven. Hold on, Steven. Hello, Jonathan. Oh my God, hold on. There's a plane outside. Do not speak to anybody but your lawyers, love, Darcy. I think that was from Darcy. She couldn't afford the Y. Tell her I'll send her a check for the other one. Jonathan, stop it. I'm talking to Steven. Steven, stop. I was talking to Jonathan. I got...
I actually think it's like okay to have a moment where you're thinking, oh shit, am I gonna be in trouble because of Jen Shah? I really think it's okay. I'm like not upset that Lisa called her lawyers.
All of them. But that's the thing that's funny. Lisa's like, I'm so important, I have like 19 lawyers. So I'm gonna be calling all of them right now.
And then every lawyer, she's like, I am shook up. I'm so shook up. Oh my God, I'm scared. Oh my God, she lied to me. Oh my God, she lied to me.
Hi, Jonathan. I am shooketh. Hold on 1 second. Hi, Andrew. I am shooketh. Hold on 1 second. And then Heather is like, you know, Heather says that, you know, she says that she's direct, but Lisa likes to make sure like the water's always stirred up and muddy, but she does not want to get her hands dirty. Okay. Lisa has all the information, but she's unwilling to share it with me, which is exactly what she did on the bus. But when she said I was done with my theory about like why a SWAT team showed up for Jen today, but she didn't tell us why. I mean, so what this gets to is that we see a flashback of when they were driving, and Lisa goes, I think I just came up with a theory. You guys say what you think my theory is, and I'll tell you how close you are. And they're like all upset that she like had, quote unquote, has information. I'm like, she just came up with a theory. I don't know. I thought this was just like a pretty standard kind of like game moment with like, oh my God, I just thought of something. Can you think about what I'm thinking about right now?
Well, she keeps acting like she has all the information, but she won't share any of the information. But then Heather and Whitney do nothing but talk shit about her. So why would she share the information with
yeah.
you? But then on the other hand, then why does Lisa have to keep bragging that she knows everything? I mean, they're all ridiculous. That's why this is so funny. So Jenny's like, well, the thing I know about Lisa is that she knows a lot of things, but she doesn't want to say things and then be wrong about things. So she has to be 100% bulletproof and facts proof. And, then Whitney's like, Lisa Barlow, stop sitting in sorrow.
Digging for dirt in your Balenciaga shirt. Oh my God, it's like a rap.
So then I didn't really get any of that, did you?
They were just being silly. Like, they were just decided to like rhyme. And it was exciting for them.
I never know if it's like a Bible verse I forgot or something. So then vans go back to the rental. The van gets back to the rental, and Crystal and Krista and Chris are there, and you know, everybody's there. So Crystal's like, hi, it's me, Crystal, the experiences coordinator of Cuvée. Okay, so listen, come on in. We've got a nice spread. We'd love to do something special for our guests here at the Cuvée Chalet.
I know. And they put like, they just like cover the entire bar with like grapes and cheeses and stuff. And Heather starts making herself like a little plate. And Jenny goes, that's all you're getting, Heather? She goes, no. I've just built my foundation and I'm going to build from there. She's like, of course not. You're ridiculous.
And then everyone else is like, okay, let's go outside. She's like, not done.
And then Heather just stays in there building her little town of cheese. So she tells them, once they go sit down and stuff, they're like, oh my God, did you have fun? Blah, blah. And Heather talks about how she grew up there and she has a younger sister who lives in Colorado. And they haven't been really close because she was super judgmental. Heather was super judgmental because the sister got married to a guy that wasn't Mormon right after high school. So she got excluded from things.
And Heather was committed to being like super Mormon even after her divorce. And so she just had blinders on and just, you know, she just feels horrible about it now, but she has a lot to make up with. And she just wants to, you know, she just wants to like reconnect with her sister and like all that stuff. So then now we get some Trixie Monoclackle choir, and we get a little hum, 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 hum. Because we're in Salt Lake City. And
yes,
it's so Jen Shaw.
Jen's first faker scene, her big return to the show. Yes. So Jen goes to see Clayton, her lawyer. He's like, ha ha, Jen! Ha ha, Jen, come on in and sit down, Jen. You fucking laugh at me like that when I just got swatted.
Yeah.
You got another thing coming to you, Clayton, sir.
Clayton, he's like acting as if he didn't know she was going to walk in. He's like, oh, I'm just looking at one of my three giant monitors I have here in my law office. Oh, there you are, Jen Shaw. Didn't see you wore that camera crew behind me. Oh, man. And she's like, well, I really wanted to debrief you in person. And he's like, well, we're really at the very beginning of the case. I mean, you've been charged with wire fraud and money laundering, and you pled not guilty to both those charges, you know, because you were totally innocent. Totally, totally innocent.
Yeah, he's like, well, we're going to get discovery, police reports, bank records, surveillance, you know. We'll get an idea what they think their case is, but we know that you're innocent, don't we? And she's like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And so she tells us, what I've been accused of is absolutely the complete opposite of anything I would ever do in my life. Like, if I have any fault, it's that I've been too giving and I helped too many people.
I'm just guilty. I'm guilty of being the best mother I knew I could be. I'm sorry I never was. Give me some credit for trying, won't you?
Do you know what's really hard? For old people to hold heavy things. And when they have bags full of money, I just want to help them. That's all. That's all. Like, why is everyone attacking me?
All I wanted to do was help old people start websites. And I'm sorry if that's all I wanted to do. Because I was going to give them something to do for the last few years of their life. Which is run a little website. And I'm sorry if some people think that was an unrealistic thing for me to promise them. But I'm just too giving. I just want websites for people.
Yeah, she's such a giver. So Clayton's like, well, okay, we're just waiting for the judge to send us the paperwork for the $1 million recognizance for the bond. And I mean, those guys, they are crazy, aren't they? And then over the next couple of weeks, we'll work on the 50,000 property or asset bond or whatever. And she's like, the cash, you mean? He goes, get the cash, Jen. Yeah, the cash. And she's like, I mean, this is just like so surreal because I'm thinking like Sharif is sick and like I'm going home. And then we see the clip of her getting a call and she tells us, she's like, when I was sitting on the bus, I got a call that showed my husband's phone number on the phone. And I was like, oh my God, this is not my husband's voice. And then they told me to go home and get Omar and get to the hospital. And I immediately went to like, oh my God, is Sharif okay? This is an emergency.
And then she talks about how she got pulled over and she didn't really know what was going on. And she's like, I feel like I'm still in shock, like kind of in a fog. Like I didn't grow up with a lot. I worked so hard to get to where I am now. And to have this happen, I tried to help so many people along the way. And I don't understand. And the worst part is that I can take whatever. As everyone sees, I am very resilient. When I deal with dealing with hardship, okay, when people have things to say about me, I can really take it well. But to have it affect my husband and my sons is killing me. And I don't want them to hurt. I'm just too giving.
She's so full of it. Also, this whole Sharif thing, like, oh, it wasn't Sharif who called me, even though you saw him on my caller ID. It was someone else pretending to be Sharif because Sharif didn't want to look like a liar, I don't think, on TV. I mean, I just don't believe anything she's saying. Not that it really makes any kind of difference, but I saw an after show where she's going on and on about how it wasn't Sharif that called her, it was somebody else. I'm like, Jen, like, she's just such an obvious liar about every little thing.
Well, I guess the implication is that maybe it was someone from the doctor's office used his phone to call, but like that, why? I don't understand. So now we're back to the rental house, and Heather is putting ribbons in her hair, which is something I feel like she's been waiting to do for like a season and a half. Like, finally, I get to have a ribbon moment. So they're all doing kind of, it looks like an Oktoberfest dress up. They're very Bavarian, like in dirndls and things like that. And Lisa is walking with, I think it was with Jenny, and she's like, oh my God, we look like Christmas hookers, Swedish Christmas hookers. I'm like, I don't get the Swedish part, but okay.
And then she's doing, I guess, because they're thinking like the Swiss Miss look, because they're all in their lederhosen, yeah, I think she or whatever.
Swiss and Swedish, I think.
Yeah. And so she's like, she's doing her fun voice, and she's going, Buck Jenny, come on, Jenny.
She's like, you have a little bow on your booty. Janna. So then a lady comes from Rocky Mountain Raclette, which I don't know about what Rocky Mountain Raclette is. Like, I don't know about the company, but I know it's something I want to like participate in the future. Like, I really, really need to have a Rocky Mountain Raclette moment. I know about Rocky Mountain Chocolate Company, which I'm also into. I think
Rocky Mountain High, Rocky Mountain Oysters. No, those are some bull balls.
Yeah.
Well, this raclette sounds just like another pickleball thing to me. And like, you don't play with a racket, you play with a raclette because it's like little, because it's pickleball, okay? And Bravo can fuck off with that pickleball. I'm sick of it. So Heather's like, yeah, I love a good theme. When I was 21 and a missionary in the south of France, they would serve this to me. It's like fondue, you know, like meat, cheese, fondue.
I'm just imagining Heather as this like young missionary just not going out knocking on doors because she's just sitting home eating raclette. So
I know she's just knocking on doors like, do you have a cheese melter?
We're out of raclette. So then Lisa's like, hey guys, look what else we can do. Watch. Yodeleo, yodeleo, which she then does like any chance she gets for the rest of the episode.
It's like not even close to yodeling. So then we go to Mary. Mary's alone in her room. And of course, she's got a Chanel little cummerbund thing. And she's like, this is why I don't take group trips. Because like everyone's in there laughing and like talking. And then here I come. I mean, last. And then I get up there and they're like, let's go. Did I just say that? God, I talk to myself a lot. I'm working on it.
Yeah. She gets like very embarrassed, like right in front of the cameraman all of a sudden. So Mary joins and she's in a beret, which is funny. She's sort of like doing some sort of weird Emily in Paris meets like a little Alice in Wonderland meets dirndl. It's just like Mary's take on Bavarian style, which of course is great. And so they go outside and there's an ice luge that's been set up. And, you know, Mary is, of course, disgusted. And so, but they're drinking shots out of this ice luge and everything. And they're like, Mary, do you want a shot? She goes, no, I want it neat. She's like, I mean, we're in Colorado. I mean, it's during the ski season. I mean, not only do we go ice skating, but now we're sitting out in the ice cold. I mean, for me, this is torture. So she just goes inside.
Why do you live in Salt Lake City? So weird.
Yeah.
Live in a very cold place, man. So she goes and sits inside alone. She's in a terrible mood. And then we get to the cheese wheel. Raclette, it comes from Switzerland. It's cheese heaven, am I right, ladies? Kristen or Christine or Christ or whoever is out there like wheeling some cheese around.
I said her name was Christine. I don't know if her name was Christine, but she had like strong Christine energy. And did you notice, well, by the way, that they also played like the spooky Trixie monoclackle music for that? They're like, like all these like flat notes in it that was like, ooh, spooky, but they were just making raclette.
Minor. It's Trixie monoclackle in minor.
That's what it was.
And then they start playing this porn music while Heather eats the melted cheese. And she's like, I've got chills. And then they go in and sit for dinner. And Whitney, God, Whitney's such a tryhard. I'm sorry. Okay. She just tries too hard. She's like, guys, it is time for shot skis. Everybody stand up. I have got a shot ski. Ha ha. Ha ha.
And Mary's like, who does that at our age? I mean, even at Whitney's age. I'm like, well, Mary, you better get ready next time you're on Watch What Happens Live. That's what I gotta say about that.
And so Mary's like, I'm good. And she's like, the secret is doing it at the same time. And so they all do the shot skis. And
I like that.
Come on, Mary, let's do a small one. She's like, did you not hear me? I'm good.
By the way, I like that Whitney has to explain the secret to doing a shot ski. Like, we have to do it at the same time. Like, no, we're going to alternate turns. You drink and I'll let it dribble down my shirt. Like, well, of course you're doing it at the same time.
Whitney. So the then secret. She's like, Mary can be kind of moody and she is very grumpy, probably because the shot ski is my idea and she's not a little girl. And little girls do shot skis.
Hey, that shot ski needs a little yodel-ay you. Yodel-ay! 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 Yodel! Yo-yo! Yo-yo! Yo-yo ma!
Yo-yo!
Yo!
And then it's time for the Rocky Mountain Raclette dinner. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. We've all got little tiny little pans. We're going to put our little raclette in there. Then we're going to put our pan on the fire. Then we're going to put something on top of the fire. And then we're going to... Stop trying to steal from Benihana and calling it a thing. Christine, okay? This is like a fancy Benihana.
I was so into it. I was like, please, please give me a little tray of raclette to put under the grill, which was fun. So then, and then they had dessert outside, which I thought was probably annoying. Like, I actually, at that point, I'm like, at this point, I just want to stay inside. Even though I wasn't there, I'm just telling everyone what my preferences would have been. And so Lisa...
I'm not a hostess.
So Lisa's like... How do you say I'm ready in French? How do you say it? Because the chef, the pastry chef is French. He goes, he's like, je suis, Heather says, Heather, je suis prêt. Yeah. And she goes, je suis parrot. Je suis parrot. Je suis
yale,
a parrot.
Yodelayo.
Yodelayo.
So they eat and Mary's like, I have a party going on in my mouth. So they're all loving it. And then the lady's like, and also we're gonna make s'mores, okay, ladies? And Meredith is like, this is how I do s'mores at home with the Tods. All right, we do a mini dietetic s'more. Bring up the graham cracker down to its smallest size, a teeny bit, and then we'll get a full marshmallow because that's puffy and round. And Heather's like, yeah, I can see the campaign for fat girls who like to camp. Sign me up, my man.
All right, so guys, let me get my tweezers. So we have a crumb of graham cracker, and plus this little shard of chocolate. And we'll put that. Just take a little molecule of marshmallow, and there it is. The mini dietetic s'mores, perfect for little babies like Brooks.
So then Mary keeps trying to say something because Heather's going, oh my God, I'm not sure I really get your physics assessment of that marshmallow. But no one like gives her a laugh. So she keeps trying to say it over and over. And then meantime, Mary's like, Heather, 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 Heather. And Heather's kind of, everyone's ignoring Mary. And so yeah. She goes, Heather, it's her party. Let her cry if she wants to, which was kind of funny. But then she's so grumpy by the end of it, you know? So she's like, see? This is why I need to go to bed, because talking in this group, it's like you're not really talking. You're talking to yourself. Heather, yeah. Why don't you take my seat, Heather, okay? I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, okay? So, Heather, just make sure you're not in my bed.
Yeah, and they're like, what do you mean? She goes, well, I mean, she's going to keep drinking and, like, get confused about the room and might end up in my bed. Heather's like, well, God willing, okay? If I wake up in Mary M. Cosby's bed, send me to outer darkness immediately.
So Whitney's like, but what if I come into your bed, Mary? And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. Gotta go. So she leaves. She gets up to leave. And Whitney's like, but Mary, I love you. And I've put a lot into our friendship. But in the cooking class, you told me we're not friends. You told me I don't listen.
And Mary just puts her head on Meredith's shoulder and, like, sleeps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Whitney's like, but you said things to me that really, Mary. Do you even care, Mary? And she's like, I'm listening. She goes, no, you are falling asleep.
No, I'm listening. And Whitney says, I don't think Mary gives a fuck about me. I'm like, really? Is it because Mary basically said to you, we're not friends anymore and I don't give a fuck about you, essentially?
Yeah.
So Mary,
where would you get that idea? Yeah. Also, Whitney's so fake and full of shit. Like, she's sitting here acting like she's just crying over Mary when she's sitting here ready to drop this bomb on Mary, right? That's like her whole pretext of starting the scene is dropping all this shit on Mary at dinner about her cults and all this. But she's acting like, Mary, I love you, Mary, before she drops it.
Yeah. So Mary's like, well, you definitely hurt me too when you didn't take the phone up and, like, you didn't listen to me. What do you mean, listen to you? She goes, oh, God, Lord help me. Lord help me with this one.
She says, I'm not your child, Mary. And she goes, well, thank God you're not. And she's like, well, hand shrug. I'm shrugging with my hands, everybody. I can't feel my shoulders right now. Shrug. What do you expect me to listen to you? But Mary's like, good night. She just gets up and walks off.
Yeah,
and she's like, but that is my point. I care about Mary more than she cares about me. Yeah, shut up. She doesn't like you. The end. Okay.
Move on.
I'm not saying that she's necessarily reasonable about it, but shut up, Whitney. You're annoying. I can see why. I'm actually on Mary's side on this one.
Yeah, and Mary tells us, Whitney's been drinking all night. Like, I don't think she's going to remember this tomorrow, which I think that Whitney will remember it. I think Mary's also kind of like a drunk gaslighter, you know, like, oh, she's wasted. She's not going to remember. So Whitney was like, well, why does she expect me to listen to her, but none of you? She goes, hey, Mary, hey, stay here for a second. Because I guess Meredith goes to go talk to Mary. Stay here for a second, Mary, stay here. Now, I'm going to be right back because it was a very heavy dietetic mini s'mores molecule that I had, and I have to walk it off. 1 second.
And Whitney's like, but Meredith, she thinks less of me. And Meredith goes, oh, she does not. And she goes inside. And Whitney's going, yes, she does. She doesn't do this to you, Lisa. And Lisa goes, yes, she does. Oh, yes, she does. So then inside, Meredith is telling Mary, no, so she just wants, here's what you got to say. I know you're not having carbs right now, but if you want the chicken fingers, get them, Brooksie, all right? And then burp her, and she'll feel better. And then when you put her down, all she wants to hear is that you love her. And Mary's like, that's another day. I'm not doing that today.
Yeah. So Whitney's like, I just feel like I got excommunicated from her. I felt like I showed up for carpool and no kids got into the van. So Mary, and then we just see Mary saying, not tonight, not tonight.
I mean, I know there's a lot out there about her, and I protect her from it. I protect her from it so hard that I'm going to talk about it right now.
Yeah, that's her thing, like saying, I got excommunicated from her church. She's so full of, she's so bad at this, basically, is my issue with her. She is such a ham-handed housewife. It makes me fucking crazy. So yep. Lisa's like, what do you mean you protected her? And she's like,
when people ask me if this is true, if that is true, if this is not true, if that is not true, this about her church, that about Robert Sr., that about a con...
Get to the point, Brittany! Fucking A! The wolf is no longer fresh. You're killing me here. All right.
The congregation believes that Mary is God. Like, have you ever seen when she plays peekaboo with them? They love it.
And Heather goes, are they worshiping her? Are they worshiping her?
Yes.
A boom. And then we get a big boom. And when he's like,
I believed her. I went to her church. And then I realized that I was being lied to. And as your friend said, we were warned. And I can't speak to that because I wasn't there.
And of course, Lisa is like, well, actually, he said it to Meredith alone. It was Meredith. Remember that? Which is the whole reason she had Meredith there. So she didn't have to do
yeah.
it. So Meredith is like, yeah, you said to be very careful.
Yeah. And Lisa says, well, I will tell you why his name was even being brought up. And Heather goes, well, he's a disgruntled former member of Mary's church. And Whitney goes,
why is his name being brought up by me, actually? But why?
And Lisa's yeah. like, listen, you should ask him the questions because I don't want to be the one to speak for him, but I'm happy to put him on camera so that way you guys all speak about him right now.
And Heather's like, well, he apparently told you in an effort to get the word out, so why don't you just say it, Lisa? She's like, no, there's no effort to get the word out. He told me a long time ago. And Heather's like, what's going on here? Because, like, I don't understand, and it sounds like a lot of nothing. Are we talking about a friend who's in a powerful position that may be taking advantage of older people? And when he's like, yes! Or are we just trying to hint that we're not dumbasses?
Yes!
Or, I mean, what are we doing? Like, do we just not want to say what we think or feel because we want to steer clear of any trouble?
Yes!
Okay, Whitney, sit down. Sit down now, Whitney.
There's room okay? for all of those things. It's like a carpool of emotions.
And so Heather is saying, getting Lisa to say this information about Mary is like getting a Mormon man to admit he's ever seen porn, okay? And I shouldn't be this hard to tell us what you know. So Lisa says, people have to be able to trust me in sharing things. They have to know that if they tell me a secret, I'm not going to tell a secret, but I'm just going to allude to the secret, and then you guys figure it out from there.
I know. She's like playing $1,000 pyramid or whatever that game is. She's like, I didn't tell him. You can't kick me off the game. And so Jenny's like, okay, now I get why Whitney and Heather. What is it?
$1 million pyramid. You really priced it down. You really brought it. Like, or is it like 64? No, that's the 64.
I'm in like the 80s version. It's like the $5 pyramid. $5. You know, the stick of gum pyramid.
I would play all of them, but to be honest. So Jenny is like, now I understand why Whitney and Heather are so frustrated with Lisa, because she's throwing out hints and leading us to what she knows, but not telling us. Just tell us. The van is about to leave. We have to get on the van. So Heather goes, we are a group of women who've just been completely traumatized and are very full off of raclette by our friend getting arrested practically in front of us. And all of us have red flags and we turn the other way because we didn't want to upset her and we wanted to stay in her good graces, and we ignored our instincts and we ignored messages people sent us. We ignored victims. We ignored many phone calls from Homeland Security that said, we need to talk to you about your friend Jen Shaw. She may be up to some no good. We ignored all that, okay? We had the signs.
I was walking down the sidewalk a couple of weeks ago, and I could have sworn that a bush was following me. And I kept looking behind me, and the further I walked, the further the bush was close to me. And then finally I just stood there, and the bush actually took 2 steps, and I ignored that. Like, I'm literally ignoring everything happening. She goes, so Lisa, if you know something about our friend Mary victimizing people, would you please just tell us? And she's like, and Meredith goes, I had a conversation with Mary today. That's it. She like hits the bottom.
And then there's a big rewind moment. I should also mention that during this entire scene, Trixie Monocle quietly in the background is going, it's like the chorus wants to weigh in, but they're like too afraid. Like, is now the time? So 6 hours earlier during the Nancy Kerrigan exhibition, Meredith says, okay, Mary, there are some people making cryptic negative remarks, but mainly cryptic. It's my new favorite word. Okay, I'm engaging with cryptic about your church, and it's upsetting me.
And Mary goes, oh, no. And she goes, yes, Mary, I'm upset. She's like, well, look, as my grandmother used to say, it's not who said it, it's who believes it. Now sign over your mortgage or Jesus Christ will decapitate you and serve your vows to demon dogs.
Well, and afterwards, we both got some sort of tchotchkes from a local kiosk and everything was fine. So I think everything's okay. So,
she did almost get in trouble at a sunglasses shop when she took sunglasses and put them in the microwave. I mean, those were $150,000.
I mean, I did tell her not to spend $75 on knockoff Mickey Mouse ears that were in the shape of squares, but she insisted that she had to get them. So, well, you know. So Meredith says, you know what? She said, Meredith, you know, what religion, what church do you know of that people don't have negative things to say about, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And Lisa's like, you know what? But I'm respectful of people, except for weather. And I'm respectful of my friend Cameron. And I believe him. I believe him. And Heather's like, what do you believe? You still haven't said what you believe. It's like, he has had extreme religious trauma being a member of her church, and he is no longer a member. And Meredith is like, religious trauma? That is the most abstract thing I've ever heard in my entire life. What is that? And Lisa's like, starts playing with her hair angrily. She's like, oh my God. She's supposed to be on my side, bitch. You're lame.
If I say anything right now, it's not a betrayal of Cameron. This is because I was pushed by Meredith. So just all of these insinuations are being made that are more damaging, I would guess, than what the truth is. And I have stood behind Mary because she has been a good friend to me, better than Jennifer Shaw. But I am being told all these, you guessed it, cryptic messages, and nothing is clear, and I'm getting angry and upset. But I'll tell you one thing that's not cryptic. My emotions.
I'm getting angry, hangry, and sad, frankly. Now, if you don't give me a concrete example,
and Lisa goes, he markets this house and gave her $300,000.
Boom.
Are we talking about the chocolate bar or cash? I can't deal with all this cryptic information.
Oh my gosh. So I'm not really sure what this is about. I guess this is Mary talking not too bright people into signing over their mortgages, but
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I'm not
but
sure.
It's,
I guess we'll have to wait.
We will have to wait.
But then at the after show, you want to know something really shady? Something.
Yes.
I've just seen clips of this after show that people are posting, and so one of them is about this, and Lisa's like, "Well, you know what? Like, he's like traumatized, but let's just say, and that's it." And then Meredith is like, "I mean, come on. You know what? If you sign your house over, you sign your house over. It's known as a charitable donation. No one got in trouble in Angie's party when that guy gave $1 million. I mean, it sounds like charity." And Lisa, then it cuts back to Lisa, and she goes, "You know what? Like, I can't speak for Cameron. You can ask him. But Cameron has passed away, ma'am." For you to say that in the after show when everybody knows this poor guy has passed away, Lisa just sticking to her guns, like, "You know what? Talk to Cameron. Pray.
You know what? Ask the little boy from Coco. He can go to the other side and he can get the information for you." That is very odd that she would say you should ask him. That when she was the one who posed the tribute to the poor guy.
Yeah, maybe they recorded that a long time ago. I have no idea, but.
I don't know, but wow, I just absolutely love the season and the trailer for next week. I mean, the fact that our A and B stories here about Mary having a cult and Jen Shaw facing federal charges. I mean, this is going to be one of the best seasons of all time on Bravo, for sure.
Yeah. Good times, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tonight on Take a Seat over on Green Room by Spotify, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have Potomac up later, then Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip episode 2 and 3 this week, plus a bonus if you want our videos. This was video, so if you want them, Crappens on Demand is over at patreon.com/watchwithcrappens. That's also where you find our bonus episodes. Go get your tickets for Crappens Live starting in January in New York City. We're going to be in Jersey that week. It sold out. We're going to be in Boston that Sunday. That's going to be a really fun big show, too.
That's a huge show, actually. I think it's getting overshadowed by our New York show, but that's a huge show in Boston.
Yeah. So that's going to be really fun, too. So if you need your tickets, go get them at watchwreckcrappens.com. In the meantime, for those of you who only listen to Salt Lake City, like Cretans, happy Thanksgiving to you. And, you know, we do love you guys and are very thankful for you. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.